Rebecca to announce that the show is sponsored by Gitti and Ari. And Mel, in gratitude to Hashem for all the blessings and the strength and the faith to deal with life's challenges. Just for Besorot Tovot and good health, Bezrat Hashem. So we will continue from last week and from 2 weeks ago, talking about Amira Le'akum. What are you allowed to tell a non-Jew, what you are not allowed to tell a non-Jew. We spoke about all the reasons why you can't. Then we saw all the cases that it seems to be that you can. And the last thing that was a little shocking for all of us, it was that based on the Rambam, we saw that you are even allowed to ask a non-Jewish band to come and to play for you on Yom Tov or in a wedding. We spoke about Amira Lenochri, which is Shvut, which was a little shocking, I think, for all of us. We obviously don't try it at home, okay? So, Bet Yosef, on page number 3, we're on page number 3, and the Bet Yosef, that's Rav Yosef Karo, who later on wrote the Shulchan Aruch 550-something years ago. So the Bet Yosef said the following in Siman Shin Zayin. Katav Haran, Besof Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, so he brings the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, in the 13th, 14th century, says, Beshem Baal Ha'itur, Shemutar Lomar Legoy, that you are allowed to tell a non-Jew, Lehadlik lo haner lis'udat Shabbat. That you are allowed to tell a non-Jew, you are sitting in a meal, on Erev Shabbat, on Lel Shabbat, and you are allowed to tell the non-Jew, can you please light for me, kindle for me this candle for Seudat Shabbat. Veta'amo, what's the reason? Lefi shehu mefaresh ha-shmua b'inyan de-shari amira legoy, afilu bedavar shiyesh bo melacha gmura gabe makshirei mila kedivrei bahag, v'u mashve sh'ar mitzvot lemakshirei mila kederech shishva otam ha-rambam lefi shitato. And it says that his reason is because he, if you remember, the Gemara in Eruvin, we spoke about this Brit Milah that happened on Shabbat and about bringing the machshirim, the things that are helpful for the Brit Milah. And the Bahag says it's not only for Brit Milah, but it's for also for everything else. And the Rambam said the following. So the Baal HaItur said, because you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do for you, even if it's a melacha gemura, if there is a tzorech. So no one wants to eat a dark. Obviously, on Shabbat, we also have an additional thing. That's why we light the candles, not with non-Jews, just us. We try to kindle the Nerot Shabbat closer to where you have the meal because you want to enjoy them. Now we have lights, but basically there is Kvot Shabbat and there is Oneg Shabbat. And that's why he said you are allowed to do it. And that's, by the way, a direct commandment. You tell the non-Jew, please, tadlik li et haner. Kindle for me, please, the candle. אבל הריף והרמב"ם חולקים על זה. דאפילו לצורך מילה לא יתירו, should be Ramban, I think. דאפילו לצורך מילה לא יתירו אמירה לגוי בדבר שאסור מן התורה, וכל שכן שהסוברים כדעת התוספות שכתב רבינו בסמוך דאסרי. בעד, דבעל היתור, דאפילו בשבות השבות אסרי. So it says, but however, there is another opinion that says that you are not allowed to do it, and why? Because the story with the Brit Mila was only about Brit Mila. You shouldn't take any ideas from that case and to apply them on any other cases. It needs to be only with Brit Mila. And why? Because Brit Mila itself overrides Shabbat. But all the other melachot, you are not allowed. So that's according to the Bet Yosef. Aval, Atosfot Katvu, he brings the Tosfot that says, שאסור לומר להביא לו שום דבר בפרקם הדגיטין, כן, כתב בהגאות, שפסק רבנו יצחק, דדווקא משום מילה שהיא גוף הדחיה שבת, התירו אמירה לגוי, או משום יישוב ארץ ישראל, בדבר שאין בו אלא משום מסור שבות, אבל משום מצווה אחרת, כגון להביא ספר תורה דרך קרמלית וחיי גוונה, אסור לומר לגוי לעשותו עד כאן לשונו, וזה דעת רבנו. And he says that it's not true, meaning there are other opinions that says no, only for Brit Mila you are allowed to tell a goy, only for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael you are now allowed to tell a non-Jew, but in all other mitzvot, you cannot. You are not allowed to what? You are not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do things for you, even, for example, to bring a Sefer Torah through a Carmelite. So take a look at this one. You daven somewhere, I don't know where, you daven somewhere, and they don't have a Sefer Torah. You have a Sefer Torah in your home, And the way from home to shul does not go through the public domain or the private domain, it goes through a Carmelite. We spoke about Carmelite last week. Carmelite is an entity from the Rabbanan, which is Nishtahir, Nishtaher. It's not Reshut HaRabim, and it's not Reshut HaYachid. So you would think that what? So according to the Bala Itur and many others, can I tell a non-Jew to bring it? Sure, even through maybe even the public domain. Definitely through a Carmelite. But according to Tosfot and many others, you are not allowed to ask the non-Jew to bring it to you. And therefore, what are you not going to have on that Shabbat? Leining. You can still have tefillah. Yeah, you can still have Shabbat. It's just not going to have leining, which is very interesting. Because you will say, Tzorech Rabim, there is a need, and there is a mitzvah. No, according to Tosfot, you cannot ask the non-Jew to do it for you. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch, on page number 3, at the end, the last source on page number 3, the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchot Shabbat Siman Resha in Vav Seif Bet, the last source on page number 3, says the following. Israel ve'eino Yehudi, if you have a Jew and a non-Jew, shehesevu yachad. What does it mean, shehesevu yachad? They are eating together. Ve'idlik eino Yehudi ner. That's on Shabbat, on a Friday night. And the non-Jew, light a candle. Kindle a candle. Turn on the lights. The candle will be even worse than that. Okay, but let's say he kindled a candle. Now, can you understand that reality? You have Jews and non-Jews sitting together for Friday night dinner. Okay. Mutar leishtamesh le'orim rov eino yudi, if the majority of the people around that table are not Jews, are not Jewish, you are allowed to use the candle. V'im rov Israel, and if the majority of the people who eat there are Israelim, are Jews, or even if they are 50-50, asur. V'im yesh uchacha, and if there is a proof, sheletzorech eino yudi madlika, and if in a case that the majority of the people are not Jewish, but the majority of people are Jewish, but the non-Jew kindled that candle for himself, כגון שאנו רואים שהוא משתמש לאורה, אף על פי שרוב ישראל מותר. So says the Shulchan Aruch like that, and we're going to make an example of it. So you are sitting in on a Friday night dinner. Somehow it's you, 5 other Jews, and 10 non-Jews. Boom, הפסקת חשמל. The non-Jew goes to the, whatever, to the electric box and he turns it on, or he brings a special menorat cherum, an emergency light. Can you use the light? Answer is definitely yes. Not a problem. Second case. You have 10 Jews, you have 3 non-Jews. Same thing, hafsakat chashmal. The non-Jew goes ahead and brings this emergency light or he turns on the lights. And then you have 2 options. Option number 1 is you cannot use it because the majority are Jews and they enjoy something that the non-Jew did for them. Alternatively, if the non-Jew used this light for his own advantage, for his own benefit, for his own use, you see that he is counting money, he is reading a book based on that light, even if the majority are Jews, you are allowed to enjoy it. Now, the thing is like that. First, we are not talking about telling a non-Jew to do, he did it by himself. He did it by himself. No one asked him to do it. Which means what? We definitely see that there is a huge difference between what? Telling him what to do and enjoying it, or if he did it for himself, or if the majority are non-Jews, that you can benefit from it. So therefore, it's a ratio, but the ratio is for a purpose. The purpose is that if the majority are Jews, when the non-Jew did it, unless it's proven that he did it for himself, he probably did it for the majority. And if he did it for the majority, which were at that time mostly Jewish, so then you cannot benefit from something that the non-Jew did for you. But now let's pause for a second and let's bring a very modern example. You are in a hotel, and not Jewish hotel, just a regular hotel. majority of the guests are non-Jews. And let's say that there is an urn, hot water or coffee. Are you allowed to drink from it? Let's say hot water, not coffee, just hot water. You see? No, no, no. They turn it on Shabbat for the non-Jewish guests, for everyone, for all the guests in the hotel. Why are you hesitating? Why? Because I asked? Ah, you see? Very good. Thank you. Don't hesitate. That's... Oh, okay. So what is that? Tzorech gadol, choli, or tzar? So the thing is what? Or all the above. So the thing is what? I see it all the time. When I give a shiur like that or something like that, where it's... Don't be concerned. You know the halacha. The halacha is yes. They didn't do it for me. They did it as part of, A, their job. They need to have coffee every day. Monday, Thursday, Shabbat, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, they don't care about it, okay? Even Christmas for them, okay? They're going to have a cup of coffee there. That's A. B, the majority of the people are not Jewish. They don't do it for Mr. Cohen or Mr. Levy. They do it for the residents of the hotel. So definitely, yes, the answer is yes. But now let's take it a step further. Can you use hot water in the faucet? In the faucet. The what?
The yes.
What's the rationale behind it? Very good. The same rationale. Basically is, everything that is being done in the hotel is not being done for Mr. Jew. It's being done for everyone. They don't care. Now, unless you know that most of the people in the hotel are Jewish, that's not a good hotel to go to. So the thing is what? Is that you, then there is maybe a problem. Even then, you know, that according to this one, even if there is one non-Jew that enjoys it and he did it for himself, in the hotel they don't do it for the Jew, even if they are the majority of Jews. They do it for what? For the sake of everyone in the hotel, which includes the chef, the cleaner, the janitor, and the Jew. They don't care. And for the gardener. So each one of them have an access to it, which means even that might be an opening for a halachic permission. But now, let's do a third one.
Take it to your house, though. But in your house.
No, in your house, it's becoming more difficult because it's definitely done for you. Even though I will talk about something in... You know what? Let's bring it to your home. Okay. You have a non-Jewish worker at home. And there is a hapsakat chashmal. Okay? The lights went on. And he turns it on or he brings this emergency light. He's obviously, you are benefiting from it. However, he doesn't want to sit in the darkness either. He does it for himself as well. Okay? So that's another idea. I wanted to bring another example from a hotel. I forgot. No, we spoke about hot water. There is a third one. The what?
The cars in the door.
That requires an additional class, really. Because the first 45 minutes, we need to talk about how it works. So I cannot say, it depends. There are also different cards today. There is what's called the smart card. And then there is, by the way, that's going to be, I think we mentioned it here or something like that. That's going to be everywhere in every hotel. They don't have manual cards anymore. And it's also economically, it's better for them because basically all the lights are being turning off when you leave the room, including the AC. When you come in, it all goes on and there are the sensors and they set the temperature for you. And if you want the lights on, you still need to have a card inside the thing. There is a smart card, there is a magnetic card, there is an electronic card. So there are many, many things. So that requires really to know the details of each card, really. So that's, but there was one more thing in the hotel. I forgot what it was. Yes?
I have a question about the hotel. Can be the next one. Do you have a problem using the water there?
You just said, don't do it for me. And he will tell you, I'm not doing that for you, sir. I'm doing that for all the other guests as well. That's his job. He needs to refill the urn. I'll give you a suggestion because you hesitate. Don't go when it comes to an end. Just go early in the morning. But I'm saying, no, that he does it. That's what we call, we have a halachic terminology. It's called adata denafshe ka'avid.
Could you tell the worker
that the water is finished? No. Because then he will do it definitely for you. Now, he will do it for the others as well because he knows if it's finished, that his job is to bring it. But if you ask him, you are like directly benefit from him. Ah, so that's something else. That might be something that it's... Now, that's a question of how direct or indirect can you be when it is really very, very much direct. Okay? But also, in that terms, I can hear many leniencies saying, that's his job. His job is to make sure that the urn is always full of hot water. So by you telling him that, you don't tell him to boil for you water. He's going to take it from the huge urn and going to replace it or something else that was already there. So basically, you don't tell him to do anything that it's benefiting only you. And especially here, you didn't. And according to some, you didn't even tell him. However, I can hear the other opinion says, no, it's too much of a direct hint. Therefore, you shouldn't. But you can allow others to tell him and then enjoy it. Meaning, if an Anju comes to the front desk and says, look, the urn is empty, you can enjoy the water. And why not? Let's ask the why not. What will be the problem of tilting it? The thing is mukze. And you are not allowed to what? To? No, touch you are allowed to. You're not allowed to move mukze. You're not allowed to move mukze. And therefore, I would suggest to you not to. Or, if he does it for you, you're not telling him anything, that's not a problem. Yes? No, that's because that's not mukze for you. You have it in mind to use it. So that's not mukze, is something that you put aside. This one is the same thing like taking a pot from the, whatever, from the crock pot it's called? The crock pot, the thing, the crock pot to take it out, lift it up, pour it on, and yeah, that's not a problem. Lolit Vila, yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, don't put electric vessels in the mikveh and use it after. Highly not recommended. So so the thing is, the question then you need to ask yourself, why do they need to write it? But the thing is that no, not a senior moment. I forgot what question we were at. But the thing is that we obviously have tremendous consequences to this machloket and to the halachot that we are reading now. But the Rama says, Aga, yesh omrim, shemutar lomar le'eno yehudi ladlik lo ner seudat Shabbat. So this is the Ashkenazic minag. He brings the opinion that says that you are allowed to tell what? A non-Jew to kindle for you a candle on Shabbat, to tell him. משום דסבירה לדמותר אמירה לאינו יהודי אפילו במלאכה גמורה במקום מצווה. Because they hold that you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something for you even if he violates a מלאכה גמורה מדאורייתא, a biblical prohibition, if there is a צורך או מצווה. שעל פי זה נהגו רבים להקל בדבר, and based on that, many have the leniency to what? לצוות לאינו יהודי להדליק נרות לצורך סעודה, בפרט בסעודת חתונה או מילה ואין מוחה בידם. Many people tell the non-Jew, light for me the candle, light for me the AC, directly, not even with a hint, not it's cold here, it's warm here, it's dark here, it's too light here. Just tell him what to do, if there is a צורך, ואין מוחה בידם. This halachic terminology of ואין מוחה בידם is very interesting. What does it mean, ואין מוחה בידם? No one rebukes them. The question that we need to ask is, why? Why not? So one reason is no mocheh biyadam because it's okay. Second reason is it's really not so okay, but they're not going to listen. So it's just better to keep it the way it is. This idea of mutav yushogegim v'aliyu mezidim, or sometimes you don't need to give rebuke if it's fine. It's not like the best, but it's fine. Because look, the thing is, and I want, you know what? Let me just finish that, and then I will talk a little bit about the philosophy of the halacha. ואין מוחי בדם, ויש להחמיר במקום שאין צורך גדול. You need to be stringent in a place that there is no great need. Now, what is a great need? Very subjective thing. Everyone with his own great needs, right? Male cannot wake up in the morning without coffee. For him, it's a tzorech gadol. For me, it's very tzorech gadol. Wrong example. I love coffee too. So, I don't know, whatever. Something else, you know, for me, it's not a tzorech gadol. Darov ha-poskim cholkim al svara zu. So what do we have? So first halakha, then a little bit the hashkafa and the philosophy. So, in terms of halakha, we have two major opinions. We have obviously in between some others, but we have two major opinions. One opinion, and it's all based on the story in the Gemara in Eruvin with this Brit Milah, Chamimele Maim Agav Ime, with they are boiling the water for the baby, and we are not sure exactly if it was the day before the Brit, after the Brit, and the Brit itself. We saw the Rishonim has a dispute over this case. The opinions are, let's start with a stringent opinion. It says, what the Gemara talked about, Brit Milah and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, those are the only mitzvot that you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something for you and to violate a melacha mideoraita. All the rest of it are asurim. Only melacha de Rabbanan, you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do it for you, because it's shvut de shvut. Shvut, amira legoi, is shvut. To violate a melacha de Rabbanan, it's only also a shvut. That's you are allowed to do. That's it. Stringent opinion. The most lenient opinion, which is the Bala Itur, and the Rama brings it down, is what you are allowed to tell a non-Jew if there is a tzorech. We brought even the Rambam last week. If there is a tzorech or mitzvah or tzar, you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to violate for you a melacha mideoraita, based on the Gemara with the Brit Milah, if there is tzorech. Now, because there are two different opinions, and each one of them have something to rely on, even though there are more opinions who are more stringent than the lenient one, still, it's a valid opinion. Now, that's the halacha. What's the philosophy or the concern? Goes back to what we spoke about last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, about Reb Moshe Feinstein and the Shaon Shabbat. I think it was last week, I think. The thing is that we see, especially in Ashkenaz, because in Ashkenaz, especially in the 16th century and 17th century, many Jews reached a very nice economical level. Some were poor like whatever, but some of them became wealthy. And when you become wealthy, what do you have?
Workers.
Most of them are not Jewish. And you want to benefit from having so many non-Jewish workers working in your house. And therefore, when the Baal HaItur was accepted more where? In Ashkenaz. So that's just basic history. Then above it. The idea is obviously that it's much easier to have all those things. To have basically a non-Jew do all those things for you on Shabbat when you need, it's make it very easy. However, what's the problem? The problem is that Shabbat becomes what? A non-Shabbat.
It's secondary.
No, not so much secondary. It's just like, when you don't keep them all day isurim, it's become like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And not only that, it becomes like fun. Everything is being done to you, for you. Right? So it's becoming, I know, maybe that's Shabbat Vayinafash. I don't know. Maybe that's the best thing ever. But the idea is that we are concerned about what? Not Shmirat Shabbat per se halachically, but the Shmirat Shabbat conceptually. That's the problem that we have. Think about it. I need to know the score between the two NBA teams. And they play on Friday night. This is the, you know, this is the the finals. Playoffs I can live without. This is the finals, okay? I need to see it. If not, my entire Shabbat morning will be, I don't know, I will be frustrated. Can I tell the non-Jew to do it for me? To turn on the TV for me? Now he's going to sit and watch it with me. So he's doing it for himself too. Answer is halachically?
Yes.
Sure. Halachically, the answer is yes. Spiritually, Shabbosdikli, Ruchniutlikli, whatever it is, pasnisht.
Depends on the team.
Depends on the team.
That's the janitor's job.
Well, yeah. It's interesting, you know, sometimes How many times I was asked and still being asked as a rabbi, it's just funny, when there is like a special game here in Israel or in Chutz Laretz, can I ask the non-Jew about the results? You know, and then you go and you find a non-Jew who is not interested in sports, and then it's like, oh my gosh, come on. But
that's why we used to go to Mincha.
Don't tell all your secrets.
You can't take the news.
Right. But I'm sure you will ask with Manchester or City?
Yeah, but he would tell you. He would know you.
He would know and tell you. Okay, so you don't even need to ask. So the thing is that you see, and this is, I think, also the Rama said it in three lines, in three words, ve'ein moche b'yadam. No one rebukes them. And why? Because sometimes things become like part of what we do, and you know it's a lost cause. I mean, you're not going to change them. So the idea is this halacha obviously has a tremendous leniency, because you know I think some people think that the rabbis just were bored and every day they woke up in the morning and said, you know, how can we make the Jewish lives more miserable than they are? And it's not true. It's really not true. I think Chazal always tried to make it meaningful. Let's put it like that. Meaningful and sometimes even easier. They definitely did not look for to make it misery. But the thing is that we have a concern that people will take advantage on the leniencies that we give, and basically Shabbat will not be Shabbat anymore. Yes? But ve'ein moche b'yadam? Not necessarily. That's what I said. I think there are two ways to look at it. One is to say it's not going to help, but it's still okay. And why I'm saying it's okay? Because if it was not, we will tell them that it's not. So the thing is that that's what I said before. It's a valid opinion. It's a strong opinion. The Baal Ha'itu we don't dismiss just like that. Even when there are other opinions that says no. But because it's such a valid opinion, you cannot dismiss him. And therefore, we are not in favor of that opinion, but we didn't erase it from halakha. The fact that we didn't, it means what? We accepted it. Now, we always have what I will call, the expectation. But the question is also, philosophically, if I choose not to go to the quote-unquote the next level, if I'm a good Jew, if I'm in the category of not a good Jew if I go to heaven or the other place, I'm not interested in all those things. I'm interested in halacha. If I as a Jew choose to do something that is halachic, coded in Shulchan Aruch in the Rama, coded in the Baal Ha'itu, coded in other Rishonim, and I accepted upon myself that opinion which is valid, it's written, it's not like in a book that no one heard about, in the Shulchan Aruch, and I don't want to go to the next level. Just part of my choice. I don't want to. I'm a kosher good Jew. Would you come to my Friday night dinners? Knowing that I'm going to tell my non-Jewish employee to turn the lights on if I need. And the answer is, it became a social debate. Not a religious debate. It became a social debate. You don't buy this kashrut? You don't have 5 dishwashers? Why do you need 5? Perfect. Thank you very much. Very good. You don't have 5? Matt.
I have 5.
Very good.
I used to have 5. They
grew up and got married. Yeah.
I got the job of all 5.
Yeah. So the thing is that you see, we can go and go. Microwaves, We also need to have probably like 4 or 5 of them, right? So the question, when you say today to people, which is very interesting, that it used to be, not too long ago, that the ovens had only one ta, one compartment, just one, and you use it for haravi and besari with the times and the kashrut, they will look at you, and some of them will tell you, that was treif. But they don't know the halacha. That's the problem. Now, I will just say one thing, which is very important. I think. Baruch Hashem, that we have more money, and we are able to avoid many issues. By the way, by avoiding many issues, we also start forgetting some halachot. You ask people today how to kasher kelim, they look at you and say, kasher what? Because it's so cheap. You just buy for Pesach, you buy for Chalavi, you buy for Besari. If something went treif, what do you do? What, you stick it in the ground 10 times and you start taking a torch? No, you throw it and you buy a new one because it's so easy and it's so cheap. Most of the people don't bother. The thing is, which is beautiful, Baruch Hashem, we can afford more than ever. But at the same time, we also lose the knowledge which gives us the foundation for many other things as well. Yes?
So what happened to the
It's different. Here, it's mutar meika. The question was, so what's the difference between retroactively and... What is the lechatchila? I never found a good English word for... The what? A priori, you will say?
There's post hoc and a priori. Post hoc is after the fact.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's maybe a little bit more, I will call it surgically. Yeah, I think I used the word surgically for that one. But I'll accept it, thank you. So, lechatchila and the bediavad is more when you cannot afford it. It's okay, but it's borderline. It's borderline, but it's okay in that case.
Well, in this case, couldn't you say, you could say directly like bediavad, but isn't it better to say it as a hint?
According to the Baal Ha'itu, there is no need for that at all. The lechatchila and the bediavad is that where you have two things. Here it's just the gap is so... You know, if you are asking the Baal Ha'itu, would you prefer that I will hint the guy rather than... He will look at you and say, do whatever you want. I'm telling you what you are allowed to do, so why are you looking for chumrot? This is where... This is the sociological, philosophical, and psychological idea of heter. This is really the main question. This is why this sugiya is so important. Because it brings us to, I think, to the zone that when we are not comfortable. It's Shabbat, and what people would say, and this and that and the other. And as a posek, sometimes you also have that thing, you know, what people will start saying, oh, Rabbi so-and-so said, you are allowed, and you know people. You tell them one thing is mutar, and they say, akol mutar lach, akol sharu lach, and kan lo neder lo shvua, not everything is okay. You need to be very careful. So the idea is that on one hand we have, if things are mutar, they are mutar. It's not bediavad. It's lechatchila. Now, so why would I do something else? So some people, it's just part of being cautious. I don't want, you know, it's very borderline. I don't want to do something that will lead me to something else. And some of it is just perception. I don't want people to think that I'm doing something that it's not good. There is marit ayin. People can be suspicious and we need to be concerned about it, but it should not dictate our lives. Ve'ein mocheh biyadam. He says it's ve'ein mocheh biyadam because of the next line he said. Tzorech gadol. It's very subjective. Tzorech, need, is something very subjective. You know, for example, it's set for 2021, the AC. Okay? It's a little warm. But you know what? Even during the week, it's set for 21. But now, because I have an Aunt Jew and I want to show that I can tell him, turn it to 20, please. Ze, I would say, im kol hakavod, ze lo tzorech gadol. However, someone can tell me, for me, it's very tzorech gadol. I get sweaty very quickly. It's not comfortable for me. I have guests. I don't have another shirt to switch. I need it to 20. Very subjective. I don't know. It's not even the pipe that burst. Last week we spoke about the pipe that burst in the shul. So this is, I think, why. But we just need to be very much aware of... how should I say that? I read an interesting article. I'm not sure exactly how accurate it is because I'm not an expert on that period of time. But basically, you know, the Mishnah Berurah that we're going to see on page number 4, Rabbi Israel Meir Meradin, the Chafetz Chaim, he wrote also the Mishnah Berurah and the Biur Halacha. And only in the 20th century, he became the most popular posek. At the same time of the Mishnah Berurah, there was Aruch HaShulchan, there was Chayei Adam, there was the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that was even before. And basically, their way of psika was very different than the Mishnah Berurah. They were much more clearer, and they basically decided based on one opinion, that's what it is. When the Mishnah Berurah developed a system of Yesh Omrim, V'Yesh Omrim, V'Yesh Omrim, V'Yesh Omrim, which means what? There are opinions like that, there are opinions like that, there are opinions like that, there are opinions like that. And after you are bombarded with so many opinions, he says to you what? V'hamachmir, and someone who is stringent will do them all. Sometimes they are mutually exclusive. But you need to basically be concerned for everything. Somehow, you know, the Talmud says, Akol talui b'mazal, afilu sefer Torah sheba'echal. Which means everything depends on luck, even the Torah in the Ark. It's rhyme, even in English. So the thing is what? Is sometimes, you know, some puskim have mazel. And he became accepted in Olam HaYeshivot. And he became the posek. Now, obviously, he has tremendous schut. But the method, the halachic method that he holds is, how can I practice halacha and including almost all opinions? Which obviously will push you very much to chumot, because you need to be concerned for all others. The what?
She said
everything. So everything, right? For everything. Which makes halacha very rigid and very stringent and I'm looking for maybe one, and less flexible. Less flexible. And that's become the lechatchila. That's become the lechatchila. So what's happened after the maximum became the minimum? What do you add? Chumot that are non-halachic. You're with me? When the maximum becomes the minimum or became the norm, people always are looking for, you know, to show their frunka, which, by the way, you see, I'm not just trying to be nice. Everyone who would like to add whatever they want to like to add to their religious life and it's meaningful for them, tavo aleim bracha. But there is one thing to add things and to expect society to do it, or to say, if you don't do it, you are not part of the religious world, group, whatever it is. That two major differences. So the thing is like that. When the maximum becomes the norm, you're going to add chumot. And we know that the nature of chumot, that they become part of the halacha, and according to some, because they don't know the halacha, it replaced the halacha. Which now, as a halachic person, I'm concerned. You want to tell me chumot from now until tomorrow, bevakasha, but don't tell me that this chumot is the halacha. So, therefore, we are going now to see the Mishnah Berurah on the top of page 4, and we'll see what he has to say. It depends how strong is that person. And how strong is his group, how strong are his students, and how strong his skills in social media and publicity. Really, I mean, that's what it is. It's very simple. We know for sure, you've seen pictures in the 40s and 50s and 60s, what was going on in the Orthodox world is definitely not what is going on in 2019. I'm not talking about Beit Mikdash Rishon and Beit Mikdash Sheni, that we are talking about like almost two different types of Jews. I'm talking even about in the last 100 years. Major difference between the development or the evolution of Orthodoxy. Yes. No, Dud Shemesh is a problem. Even we, before or after. Dud Shemesh brings cold water into the Dud, and they boil it on Shabbat. It's being boiled on Shabbat. If that's a Dud Shemesh, there are two different Dudei Shemesh. There is Dvadei Shemesh, not Dudei, Dvadei Shemesh. One is by the sun, and one is electric. So the electric obviously is a problem. The Shemesh, it's Toladat Chama. So there is a major debate, and it depends, but basically you should not, that's really, you should not use the Dud Shemesh on Shabbat, yes. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Lisudat Shabbat, haynu shiyoshev b'choshech, ve'ein lo shum ner leechol." You see what the Mishnah Berurah does? You remember the Rama says that what? That if you sit in a Friday night dinner and you don't have enough light, you can tell the non-Jew what? No. To turn on the light for you. Because here it says, V'idlik eino yudiner, emesev v'yachad, V'idlik, they sat together, I'm sure there was light, the non-Jews just added another candle. So he changed the case. He changes the case to what? You see total in the dark. Ve'ein lo shum ner le'echol, and he has no candle and he can't eat, only then he can tell the non-Jew. Aval, im gamar seudato, af she'adayin lo berech brikat hamazon, but if he finished his meal, even though he didn't bench, או שיש לו נר אחד, או he has one candle, פשיטה שאסור לצוות לעיני יהודי להדליק לו דהה וישבות שלו במקום מצווה. It says, פשיטה, you are not allowed to tell the non-Jew to light for your candle, because you have one, so you don't have a צורך. What does he try to do? He tried to narrow down the case, A. B, he also tried to define צורך. צורך is when you sit in darkness. Everything else is not a tzorech. So you understand the halachic need, but we can definitely have an opinion about the result, the consequences. Miu, im yesh lo shum ner, if he already has a candle, even though it's a little far away or it's not a great light, v'tziva le'ino yudi l'adlik lo ner acher shari le'enot mimeno b'ot sh'aner harishon dolek. However, he says, if you have a candle, and you did ask the non-Jew to light another candle for you, you are allowed to enjoy it. Why? Because you already have what? You already have light. So, for example, if let's bring it to modern time, you know, we have those me'am'emim. You know, sometimes you go to a room and there is light, but you can push the button and then the light becomes brighter. You know what I'm talking about?
How?
Dimmers, right. So let's say you sit in the room and you want to read and there is this light and you just need more light. Can he not dim, exactly the opposite?
Increase
the light. Answer is because the light was already there and you could use it. It's just more comfortable to use a little bit more light. So then that will be okay. That's according to the Mishnah Berurah. And then the Mishnah Berurah continues on. And it says, Bimkom mitzvah. So it's trying to define what does it mean, mitzvah. So he says, V'livnot bet ha-knesset b'shabbat al yedei eino yehudi. Are you allowed to tell a non-Jew to build for you a shul on Shabbat? Not to build a shul in one day, but to continue the constructions on Shabbat. Katav ha-magen Avraham she'asur. You're not allowed. De'afilu ledat ha'itur. שמסיק משום דהה ומצווה שאינה עוברת, שיכול לבנותו בכל. It says, even according to the Baal Ha'itur that says that you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbat, even though it's melacha deoraita, it says, to build a shul with all due respect, if they're not going to walk on that day, beseder, nothing will happen to the shul. And then it says, שהוא אסור אפילו לעשות בקבלנות, אם לא שיש חשש שמא יתבטל חס ושלום על ידי זה בניין הבית הכנסת לגמרי, ואז יש להקל בקבלנות. He says, there is one case that you are allowed to tell the non-Jew, or you are allowed to allow the non-Jew to build the shul for you on Shabbat. How? If he is a kablan. What is a kablan? A contractor. And you tell him, look, you're going to be paid by the day. But you tell him, on Shabbat, you're not going to work and you're not going to be paid. And he tells you, looks at you and says, I'm not doing that. I need to pay my workers every day. I need to bring home my money every day. You don't give it to me on Shabbat. I'm not doing that for you. Leave it like that. So then he says, what? So then if it's in kablanut, then you are allowed to do it. ואפשר דאפת די סחורות מותר בחי גבלה אם לא ירצה אינו יהודי בקבלנות. Basically, he says something very interesting. He says, look, you need to build somehow this shul. If the non-Jew tells you, look, if I don't work on Shabbat, I'm not building the shul, and there is no one else who can build the shul besides this guy, you need to try to convince him to do the job for you bekablanut, as a contractor. If he doesn't want to, he can be your employee, but you need to try to do what? To convince him not to do it on Shabbat, but if he can't, and there is not going to be a shul, then you are allowed. So he tried to define a tzorech gadol. Tzorech gadol is what? Is that if you're not going to do it on Shabbat, it will not get done. Which is interesting. Obviously, I think this is a very rare example. I mean, I think everyone has their own days off, but that's basically how he tried to define makom mitzvah. Says the Magen Avraham, במקום מצווה, ודווקא שגופו נהנה ממנו, אבל אומר לאקום שיבנה בית הכנסת אסור. So the Magen Avraham tries to define it as what? As במקום מצווה is when I am going to enjoy it. But building a shul, with all due respect, I am not going to directly enjoy it, so that you are not allowed to tell the non-Jew. Says the Mishnah Berurah, מכל מקום מותר לומר לאינו יהודי לתקן את העירוב שנתקלקל בשבת, כדי שלא יבואו רבים לידי מכשול, וכדאי הוא בעל האיתור לסמוך עליו, להתיר שבות דאמירה אפילו במלאכה דאורייתא במקום מצווה דרבים. This is interesting. You get a call, no, they're not going to get a call. On Shabbat morning, someone comes to you and says, Rabbi, the Eruv is gone, the Eruv fell. Okay, the Eruv is down. So, I think once a year, I think the rabbi should say, great, wonderful. Because that's the best fundraising for an Eruv. You know, when people don't have it, then they will contribute for the Eruv. Because when it works, no one cares. However, let's say you need to fix it. Now, if you're going to tell everyone there's no Eruv on Shabbat morning, people will already be metaltel, and you don't want to cause them to, obviously, to violate the Eruv. Violate Otsa'ah, really. So you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to fix it, even b'melacha deoraita. Even if you will need to what? To violate a biblical prohibition. So now, why? Because of two things. A, tzorech rabim. You know, not all the people can know that the Eruv is down. That's A. B, kedai u'ba'al la'itur lismoch alav. Which means what? The ba'al la'itur, the opinion that says that you are allowed to tell a non-Jew to do things for you on Shabbat, even if it's a violation of a biblical prohibition, is kedai. That's where I'm going back to what I said to you before. This is not only a valid opinion, it's a strong opinion. So we want to use it in special cases. The Rama says you don't need a special case, but the Mishnah Berurah, 300, 400 years later, already says what? You need a real important cause. So again, it was never dismissed from halacha. Okay. Any questions before we continue? Okay. Ve'ein moche. Oh, sorry. Do a different job for 8 days and then another 2 days somewhere else. Yeah, because this is also an interesting question. Can a Kablan build a Jewish home, a home for Jews, in the Jewish neighborhood? He's doing his own job. And I'm not talking so much about Shabbat, I'm talking more about Yom Tovs. That's during the week. Just imagine if you have those, you know, 3 days thing, so you have, in the middle of the week, and then there is a Shabbat, so he can't walk Shabbat, he can't walk Monday, Tuesday, he can't walk Shabbat, you know. And then you yell at him that he didn't finish his job, right? So the thing is like that. In a Jewish neighborhood, he can't. Cannot. Says the Mishnah Berurah, ve'ein moche, mutav shiyu shogegin ve'al yiyu mezidin. The Mishnah Berurah here said he chose the second option, which means it's really not good to rely on the Ba'al Ha'itu, but they're not going to listen to me. So it's better not to say anything, so they will continue to be shogegim. But really, this is really my humble opinion. I think this is not the right terminology. Mutav yu shogegim ve'al yu mezidin is that they are borderline sinning. For example, how do we know that? We have in Gemara in Beitza, for example, that the women and the children, whatever, they will eat at shechashaycha b'yom kippur. They will eat until it was dark. What does it mean? It was dark. That's twilight or shkia or really tzeta kochavim. That's a different machloket. But basically, we are not talking about something that it's allowed, something that it's really not so allowed, but it's just better not to say anything, so they will violate it not knowing. That's what it means, shogeg. Shogeg is I'm violating something, I just don't know. I'm not aware. Here, I'm not violating anything. According to Ba'al Ha'itu, I did not do anything wrong. But the Mishnah Berurah already used a terminology that basically gives me a feeling of what? Of guilt. I did something wrong. It's just they don't tell me anything because I'm not going to listen. But that's not so true. It's not that most opinions are against it. So that's where we have a little bit of an issue. The Mishnah Berurah continues on and says she'ein v'shlai chmir af letzorech gadol v'sheken ra'an noagim בקהילות חשובים שיושבים בחשיכה במוצאי שבת אפילו בחתונה עד שאמרו הקהל ברכו. He says, I saw and many people other people saw, like the Shla, saw other holy communities that they will not use the Baal Ha'itu and they will not tell a non-Jew to light the candles or the lights for them, even if they need to sit in dark until Motzei Shabbat. In darkness until Motzei Shabbat. Now, the thing is like that. You also need to ask yourself a question. What is better? To ask the non-Jew to turn on the lights for you on Shabbat, relying on the Baal Ha'itu, or to sit in darkness until Motzei Shabbat, and not to enjoy Shabbat whatsoever? You know what? I'll take it back. It's not to enjoy Shabbat whatsoever, but it's to have definitely less enjoyment. What do you think? Perfect. Now I'm going to give you exactly the opposite logic. When it comes to a community and there are needs of many, and you know, we know, for example, not so related, but you know, Korban Pesach ba betum'ah, we have exactly leniencies for public, for the community, for the individual. I can order you to be more stringent with yourself, sit in darkness, because you don't influence anyone besides yourself. But when you come to a chavura, you come to a kahal, there are more leniencies. Agree? Question to you, going back to you, is what when it comes to tzibur, it's a great educational opportunity to tell them there is this Baal Ha'itu, and we're going to use it exactly like the Eruv guy. You know, when the Eruv, we want to do Tzorech Rabim, so we'll do it for them. But if my little, things fail, I cannot tell the Nanju to do it for me. Which means we can argue that back and forth. The idea is what? Is that basically we tried later on after the Rama. The Rama was the last one to really hold on like the Baal Ha'itu with little reservations. After the Rama, we see a trend or a deviation from that opinion of the Baal Ha'itu, which I assume there are some historical reasons for that, which was probably people just relied on it for things that are definitely has no tzorech. And basically we see through the years that what? That they became more stringent and they start basically hiding the opinion of the Baal Ha'itu, not using it. And they called him Kehilot Chashuvim. They are the important people, they are stringent. And then he says, V'chen noeg ha'anag ha'gaon ha'rash, ha'yu so'adim etzlo su'da shlishit, ובפרי מגדים מצדד להקל להדליק על עדנו יהודי במוצאי שבת לצורך מצווה, אף שהוא עדיין בין השמשות. So they are allowing you what? בין השמשות, in the twilight. וכל שכן בערב שבת בין השמשות, הצורך מצווה, זה בוודאי מותר. So, basically what we have is that we see in the, let's call it the history of halakha, we see how something that was in the Baal Ha'itu in the 13th, 14th century, then was added on, then was accepted by the Rama with some reservations, how we somehow lost trend from the Baal Ha'itu, and we start focusing more like the Tosfot and many others who were more conscious about it. I don't want to start this Rambam because we are going to talk now about Chole, which is an additional subject. So let's just do a little bit of a short summary. We can go on and on with examples that are almost on every Shabbat of how to keep it, how what to say, what not to say. There is no question about it. We also need to understand, I think more people know you can at least offer more leniencies. Less people know you need to be more stringent. There is a reason why most of the Sifrei Halakha of today, which are the Kitzurim, most of them are what? Akol Machmir. In the footnotes, for those who like to read footnotes, they see many other things that it says. Sometimes they are totally a contradiction to what it says in the big lines. And why? Because people don't have patience and they don't want to put the efforts to read and to understand deeply. They just read it. And they want the bottom line. The bottom line cannot be a big heter. Why? Because people will abuse it. So less people know, they become more stringent. So I think and I hope that, you know, we understand that more we know, it's obviously much more helpful for our religious life and for our halachic observance. And A, and B, we also need to understand, as poskim, we also need to understand that you don't make the psak only for that person, even though that person came to ask you. Most of the time, this person is going to share that psak with everyone that he knows and everyone that he does not know, okay? He's just going to post it, or whatever it is. And it's not about personal concerns, it's about halachic concerns. Sometimes you can give a psak to someone based on his or her circumstances, which do not apply to yours. It might be the same question, but you're not going to get the same answers. And that's the beauty of halacha. That's why, you know, there are many reservations about answering halachic questions on the internet. Because the person who answers does not know the people who ask, A. B, how much can you write in a internet platform in terms of depth and understanding, and see, you don't know the person. So he describes to you the circumstances based on his or her way, but it doesn't mean that you understand it. So obviously we have, it's going to be the questions of the future. It's not going to change. But what I'm saying is that we need to be just careful with that. So A, obviously, gain more knowledge will be beneficial for everyone. And also to know that there are opinions and we do not dismiss any of them. The thing is that there is such logically and psychologically and religiously, we sometimes deviated or we became better. It can also be that we became better, not just we became stringent just because we are stupid, just because we know we can do it and we can afford it. And therefore, why to be more borderline or to have doubts when you can cover it all? So that's basically the sum up of this class. And Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll start with the Choleh.